to have what he has, what he's desiring. So now jealousy creeps in. So now it seems like just one matter, one aspect. Well, qana'at, okay, the person is lacking in one very important quality and attribute. But it's not just one thing that is affected. That, well, the person doesn't have qana'at, so now one matter is less. It gives rise to so many things. And all these are major calamities. Unfortunately, we don't know and don't even realize what is the depth of these spiritual maladies. Many a times, an average person, ordinary person, and he knows a lot about medical things. Person got no, he's never studied medicine in his life. He's never had any experience in working in that field. But just the ordinary average person too, he knows many, many ailments. He knows treatments of it also, maybe of the shelf treatments, some home remedies. And he'll give you maybe remedies also. And sometimes when a person has some problem, physical ailment, something, then he gets so many remedies that people will give him, that if he has to start taking those remedies from one side, maybe by the time he comes halfway through, there won't be place for food left, let alone anything else. Because there's so many different treatments, everybody knows. What the point in this is, when it comes to our physical health, even the person who's got no link to medicine as such, as a having studied it, having learned it, he is probably even maybe not even, didn't go past maybe his primary school too. But even he knows. He knows many ailments. He knows treatments of it. Why? Because the physical health is very important. And indeed, the physical health is important, that while a person is alive in dunya, this is an amanat. Allah Ta'ala has given this body as an amanat. It has to be cared for. And if a person gets ill, he gets sick, he must adopt the asbab and put his trust in Allah Ta'ala and treat himself. Take the treatment from where it's available correctly. So that is in its place. But we have understood the importance of keeping the physical health. But when it comes to the spiritual side of things, we don't even sometimes know there are ailments that affect the spiritual heart. And then the way to treat these ailments, we've never bothered to learn. We've never taken the time to find out. So for the physical side of it, every person, every average person also knows a lot of detail. The spiritual side of it, we might know two or three things. Okay, pride, we've heard somewhere, jealousy, malice, and that's where it stops. But there's so many things that deal, there's a list that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has written, long list of all the spiritual maladies, things that affect the heart. One selection of that, Hazrat rahmatullah is one kitab, Reformation of Character, there's 29 aspects, or 39 aspects that are mentioned in there. The maladies, and well, some other aspects as well included. The point is that these things now, the lack of qana'at, but it gives rise to so many, now these are all spiritual maladies that are major calamities that harm the heart very seriously, harm a person's deen, and take him off the track of getting towards closer to Allah Ta'ala, puts him in the opposite direction. So, this is the other aspect here, that this person too got caught up in this nananwe ka chakkar, in this chakkar of this 99, tried to make it more, tried to keep increasing it, but then in that process, he committed zulm. Now he's pressurizing somebody else to part with that one. When a person has this lack of contentment, this qana'at goes away, then sometimes it comes to this serious situation where to round off his 99 to 100, it doesn't matter if that person has to starve. Whether in a permissible way, impermissible way, oppressive way, he must grab that one. If that person starves, his problem. Meaning basic humanity comes out of a person. One is what deen has taught us, which is very, very high. Deen has taught us something very great. Ithar, giving preference to others. But when a person gets caught up in these spiritual maladies, then even basic humanity comes out of a person. It becomes like a kind of animal lifestyle, where the survival of the fittest will be the rule. And what happens to somebody else who cries and dies, That's their business. So this is the other very important lesson we learn from here. Then this aspect about this dispute, so just a little bit few points on this matters of disputes. So disputes carry on, it happens in life. These things take place. As mentioned yesterday, it's not necessary that a dispute will only happen where either one or both parties have ill intent. That because somebody is now deliberately trying to wrong the other, therefore the dispute arose. That often happens, that often is the case. But it also sometimes happens simply out of some misunderstanding. Each person is convinced he is right. Because one person misunderstood it, he's also still convinced he's right. He's not deliberately trying to push something that's wrong. He believes he's right. So in all these things, what we've been taught here is that this will happen sometimes, but the Shariat, that is the arbiter. The Shariat, that is the arbiter. The Shariat will arbitrate in our matters. And therefore in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has clearly mentioned that when anything happens, then the Shariat must be made the arbiter. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. In different ayat, this is being highlighted that not to pass judgment, not to accept judgment as per what Allah has revealed and what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has then explained, that this takes a person away from Allah Ta'ala. So this is the bottom line. One is that when something has happened and the matter was not resolved between the parties, then now it has to be taken further. Now get somebody else to help resolve the matter through mediation. And if that doesn't work, then through arbitration, where some final judgment will have to be made. But at the lowest level of it, meaning between the parties themselves, many things can get easily resolved in day-to-day things, whether it is a dispute between, conflict between spouses, members, sometimes, whatever family issues come up, something else, whether it is in any other situation. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that these issues and disputes can easily be resolved if there's two things. If there's two things, then it'll get resolved very easily. Even in day-to-day issues between spouses, between others, if two things are there, it'll get resolved very easily. Generally, by and large. The odd situation, more complicated, now it requires some help. What are these two things? So now it takes somebody of very deep insight to select these two aspects. It's somebody whose heart is enlightened with the noor of taqwa, with very, very deep ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala. Now, the thing is that ilm, one is the ilm from the kitabs, from the books. So now, all these things are in the kitabs in terms of these are the various qualities of the noble qualities, these are all the maladies. So any person who studies that, so he's learned that. But where something has to be applied and how something has to be used to benefit oneself, take the right direction and course, that is something that requires that insight and for that spiritual insight into matters. That comes from the noor of taqwa. Otherwise, anybody can study some books. He can memorize everything also. If there's an exam, he can write it very well and he can score full marks. He may get a distinction. But that doesn't mean that the ilm of that, that noor of that has really come. The theory, he got the theory. But it is with taqwa that the noor of that comes. And then that correct application of that is understood. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alayhi was not a formal alim. He did not study the kitabs all the way to the end of the formal syllabus. He had done some part formally, but then he reached that position and that caliber that giants in knowledge like Hazrat Nanotvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, they sitting in front of him like students to benefit from him, not only from his spirituality, but from his knowledge as well. That knowledge that Allah Ta'ala blesses directly from his unseen treasures, ilm-e wahbi, ilm-e ladunni. So in any case, he said if two things are present, by and large, most things will get resolved easily. Number one, tawazu, humility. If both parties have tawazu, bulk of the jobs, of the issues are sorted out. And the other is ithar. He just used this word just now. Ithar. Tawazu, each person has within himself, I'm nobody. So very often, the dispute only comes up because somebody felt I'm somebody. And therefore, I wasn't given the due regard. I'm somebody, but I was overlooked. So now I become upset about it, that why was I overlooked? I should have been given due consideration. So the problem only became a problem because I felt offended. I felt that why was I overlooked? So now there's no problem at all, make it a problem. Matter is straightforward, is done, there's no real issue. For example, there was some matter to be decided on. So whoever decided on it already and matter sorted out. But somehow I wasn't asked, I wasn't consulted. So now the decision was made in my mind too, it came to my mind as well, that fine, whether the decision was right, it's okay. That decision was not in all, not, no problem with it. But the problem became I was overlooked. So now because I was overlooked, I'll find fault with the decision. Whereas, it's very likely, if I was consulted up front, I would have said the same thing. And not just said the same thing, if somebody else didn't agree with it, I would have pushed for it. I would have convinced everybody, this is it. But now suddenly it's the other way around, that I wasn't consulted, and the same decision got made, so now I have a problem with it. So now all this stems from nafsaniyat. And this is where the lack of tazkiyah now, when tazkiyah hasn't happened, then nafs takes over. And then this nafsaniyat now prevails in all the matters. So now where there was no problem, that problem came in. But when tazkiyah has happened, then tawazu will be in place. Tawazu is the outcome of tazkiyah. When genuinely a person has undertaken the path of Islam and made his tazkiyah, so now one of the first things that is dealt with and the first thing that is treated is that to bring tawazu in a person's life and remove the pride, remove the arrogance, remove all these things that now create this I am somebody and bring tawazu in a person's life. Now if already the tazkiyah was made, tawazu was there and now somehow the person wasn't consulted, decision got made, so he'll still have some good words for it. He'll still have some support for it. And if in his heart of heart, he genuinely believes that there is some, there's some problem that can ensue from this, then without making that an issue, he'll try to find a way to bring it to the attention of everybody. MashaAllah, this is fine. But just, I suggest make this small adjustment to it. So now he saved the situation by putting forward that suggestion, but in a way that still maintained the peace. And otherwise, he is 100% convinced that that's the right decision, but he'll have a problem with it. So now this is the issue. When tawazu is missing, then all this... But now if he made his tazkiyah, islah had taken place, so tawazu is already there. So Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is saying, step one is tawazu. A good number of issues will be resolved. It won't even come up. It won't even raise his head. Because often it raises his head with the pride. So that already is all resolved before it started. So one is tawazu. And if something happened and there's genuine tawazu in a person, then even if he is still not in agreement, but he'll deal with it in a dignified way. The tawazu will make him deal with it in a dignified, in a humble manner. He won't escalate the issue beyond where it is. It's an issue, it's a problem, it needs to be resolved, it needs to be addressed. But when tawazu is missing, where there is a genuine lack of tawazu, now will escalate the problem to beyond its level. It will now just multiply the issue. And if tawazu is there, then he will work, his mind will work in this direction, that look, this is a problem, it needs to be resolved. I even need to get my right, because I need it. But how to go about it in a way that still can maintain the peace? His mind will work in that direction. How it can still maintain the muhabbat and get the matter resolved. So his mind will be thinking first on that level, and under that, how to get this done. And otherwise, that will be furthest away from his mind. How to get this done, regardless of what? And not just regardless of what, I need to prove a point in the process also. So the first thing he mentioned was that tawazu. And the second thing, and this tawazu, what is the reality of tawazu? Tawazu is not the action. That action stems from tawazu. Tawazu is inside the heart. Tawazu is that conviction within oneself, I am the lowest of everybody. That conviction, it doesn't happen with the press of a button. It goes through processes. And the mashayikh used to put people through the paces, in our words we'll say, really to cut the person down to size. That when he starts finally believing within himself or deed, once upon a time he was saying it with his tongue, I'm nobody, I'm bandai haqir, faqir, pur taqseer, and all kinds of titles of tawazu he was giving himself. But if somebody tested that tawazu, the reality came out. But then over time, when they put the person through the paces, now he too felt truly within himself, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. So it doesn't mean now that if he's nobody and nothing, he's convinced, then he is not, doesn't have any rights anymore. If somebody has usurped his rights, then he is not going to ever be entitled or can ever claim that right. All that is in his place. Sharia has given that very clear guidelines about all that, how that must happen. He's entitled to overlook it if he wants. He's entitled to claim it also. That's his right. You can't deny him that right. It's well within his limits to go and claim that right. So in any case, the point is, if there's tawazu, now that's genuinely within him, then that itself will manifest in everything he does, how he goes about things, what he says, what he does. There's an issue, how he tries to resolve the issue. If there's tawazu, there'll be a different approach. And the lack of tawazu, there'll be another approach. That approach will now just make one problem into two also. Neither this will get resolved, and there'll be another problem to deal with also. So one is tawazu, and the other is ithar. Ithar, this word is the derivative of, it is in the Quran Sharif as well, regarding the Sahaba Ikram. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. This was revealed on the occasion, well-known incident, where the one Sahabi brought somebody as a guest, but now there was nothing to, barely some little food which was left for the children. So he says to his wife, put the children to sleep somehow, just lull them off, and we'll feed this to the guest. He's a guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in order to now just allow the guest to eat his fill, because the quantity was so little, so they, with some plan, extinguish the light also, so that the eating will be in darkness. He cannot see that nobody else is eating, and he'll be able to eat to his full. So in other words, one is to share the excess. That is sakhawa. That is generosity. That a person kept for himself also, and he shared the excess with others as well. That too is a mashallah, excellent thing. And يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفْوَ. Whatever is in excess, then share that. Share something from there. But ithar was this, that despite one's own need, what one needed for oneself, that one gave to somebody else. And bore starvation and hunger and filled somebody else's belly. Now that's a very high level. Sakhawat and generosity itself is, mashallah, very great. But this is on another level. Now one is a person is generous, alhamdulillah. But when he has ithar, now sometimes it might be a very big jump. So everybody doesn't have that capacity. But often it is in small things. But if there is this jazba and this zeal of ithar, of giving preference to others over oneself, then very easily a lot of things will get resolved. In small, small things. Otherwise small things become big. At least those small things will get resolved very easily. Find something is beyond a person's capacity to undertake. He's fully within his rights to claim what is owed to him, what is his ownership, etc. But if this primary issue is in place, these qualities and these attributes, tawazu and ithar, then it will very easily resolve numerous issues. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Inshallah we'll continue tomorrow. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.